This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. David Livingston, my colleague and co-host of Hotel Mars, Episode N. We welcome Dr. A.J. Kothari of the Astrax Corporation to help us interpret a news release out of Moscow in these last days. Russia has successfully tested its nuclear-powered Burevestnik cruise missile, a nuclear-capable weapon Moscow says can pierce any defense shield, and Moscow will move towards deploying the weapon, according to Vladimir Putin, on Sunday, wearing, in this Reuters picture, a military uniform. AJ, a very good evening to you. My understanding is the nuclear part of this press release is that it's a nuclear-powered cruise missile for violence, but nuclear power can be applied to space travel as well. Is this a well-known technology? Good evening to you, AJ.
Good evening. Good evening, John. Good evening, David. Thank you for inviting me. Well, this Burevestnik is it's a huge thing, actually. It's a huge news because the news was that, and New York Times and Reuters and everybody covered it, that it flew 14,000 kilometers for 15 hours continuously, which has never been done with a chemical propulsion before. So that is really incredible. And it's obviously a subsonic, subsonic missile. But the thing is that what it does, the way it does is that it captures the air from the front, and then in using a compressor, it compresses the air, and then it flows over a nuclear reactor. It heats it, heats the air enough that when it comes out in the back, it propels a turbine, which is the one that is connected to the shaft of the compressor, and that's how the compressor works. And then when it comes out of the nozzle, it creates thrust. It comes out as supersonics. So what this is a quite incredible, because the amount of fuel that it would require to go this distance, and actually it can go two or three times around the world. The thing is that it flies at 50 to 100 meters altitude. Now, that cannot be really detected by radars because it can confuse that with, you know, low-flying airplanes or whatever else and, you know, things like that. Cannot be. So it's really, Golden Dome is of no use for something like this. It can fly into anywhere in the United States. It can carry regular payload. It can carry a nuclear payload, etc. So this is really, really huge news for in terms of the capability that they have. What I did when I saw this, you know, started seeing this about 3-4 years ago, and I knew that this is going to happen. So I designed my own version of, not my own version, but a different version of this, which is better than this. This thing apparently is going to spew out from the back, still radioactive exhaust. My design flies at Mach 4. It flies at 93,000 feet. It is something that I went and talked to Department of Defense about. Nobody paid attention at that time. And that was partly because it was under Biden administration. And that administration, those appointees didn't want to hear the word nuclear at that time. Now, under Trump and under Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, it's really going to be, I hope that it's going to be quite different. And then they will pay enough attention. I wrote proposals about this also to AFRL, which is Air Force Research Lab, etc. Nobody paid attention. Nobody picked. Now, this, it has happened. This is what I had predicted, that look, you know, they had like 6 to 9 failures of this thing, but I said, it's going to work. One day it's going to work. The technology is possible for it to work. This turbine propelled thing is possible for it to work. So it has happened. It is really, really very, very dangerous, scary. And it's very more dangerous because we are not doing anything to give a reply to this thing. It's terrible, really.
David, you have a question for AJ.
Is there any defense for it at all? Can an AWACS look down and see it?
AWACS can, I mean, can you imagine AWACS flying 24/7, 365 days just for looking for something like this? That's not going to happen. You know, a lot of people, BBC and Telegraph and Jamestown Institute and all those people are poo-pooing this, saying, oh, it's not a big deal. It's just Putin saber rattling. That's nonsense. That's bull. It is not. This is a huge news, and we cannot detect this in that way, David, to answer your question. We cannot detect it until it is on us, so to speak, you know.
AJ, leaving planet Earth and its food fighting, what application does this have for space travel or travel on the moon or travel on Mars?
Well, really travel on Mars, let's talk about travel on Mars. Now, let's say that we have a vehicle like this. I can imagine applying this for whatever we discussed before for DOD, but I can also imagine applying this to commercial travel. And then, you know, whether it's a subsonic or the Mach 4 type of a design that I have, it will completely revolutionize commercial travel. I can go from here to whatever, India, Japan or something, on 50 grams of fuel. 50 grams of
fuel. I think you appreciate the fact that there would be a reluctance to fly a nuclear-powered engine over.
I know, but the design that I have does not produce any radioactive exhaust, and it's crash safe. So it's possible. Let me get back to your Mars question.
Yes.
Let's say this thing, we designed this thing for Mars, and it's flying on Mars. Now, Mars has atmosphere. It's mostly CO2, but it's atmosphere. We're not burning anything. There's no combustion here. So it doesn't matter if you don't have any, you know, oxygen or anything like that there. But you have to have something. You have to have something to heat that. Basically, the idea is to heat something enough and propel it in the back so that it becomes, it creates thrust. You can do that on Mars. Now, imagine being able to do this on Mars for, 20 grams of fuel. You can go around Mars completely using this type of a vehicle.
Would you be in an airplane or a missile? What would it look like? Human beings?
Well, it would, something like this. Missile, in this case, also have wings. And an airplane, for example, the Mach 4 airplane that I'm designing, would also have wings. The one on Mars will also have to have wings. Actually, wings might be quite big because the density on Mars is very, very low.
All right. So it does have application for other planets. David, you have a quick question. We have a couple of minutes.
So it requires something to heat. So flying en route to Mars or over to the moon or on the moon, there's nothing to heat. So it's not an application for those sources, right?
It really is not, unless you are carrying, some kind of a liquid hydrogen, which becomes gas, and then you expel the gas in the back. But you have to carry liquid hydrogen or something like that for that. It's just, it's very interesting. The name Yuri Vishnik came from a poem by Maxim Gorky, written in 1901 or something of that type. It's about a bird that flies ahead of a ship and warns the sailors about an upcoming storm in the back. It sort of flies on the waves and then goes up and then comes back down, which is exactly what this missile does. And it could do something similar on Mars. But on going to the moon or going to Mars, really speaking, probably some other nuclear way of doing it. Or this can also be applied to that. Or what I'm talking about, which is Mach 4 ramjet, actually can be applied better on Mars than this one. So that can also be applied for going to interplanetary travel also.
Dr. A.J. Kotare, his company is the Astrox Corporation. There's a website to introduce you to someone who's been in business since 1987, contributing to flight and interpretation of flight, such as a nuclear-powered engine. We're talking about an engine, not a warhead. It's important to make that distinction. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, episode N.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.